Good morning. Welcome back to the God School. We are about to enter in to teaching out of the book of Hebrews. But we start in the book of Ephesians, in the fourth chapter, beginning in the 11th verse, it says, "And he, that is God, gave some the apostles, and some the prophets, and some the evangelists, and some the pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints." The word here has to do with bringing to completion, for the bringing of completion to the saints, to the work of the ministry, to the edifying of the body of Christ. And we could go to other passages which tells us that the body of Christ is the church. It says, for the bringing of completion to the saints, for the to the work of the ministry, to the edifying. Webster's Dictionary, it describes or defines the word edify. It comes from the Latin edificare, which means to build, erect, construct a house. To make, to instruct and improve in knowledge generally, and particularly in moral, and it says, and religious knowledge. I would say, in knowledge, that faith might come. I'm not trying to make, and I don't think, I have no doubt God's not trying to make us religious. He's trying to make us faithers. And he does it by his word. Let's continue. To the building up of the body of Christ, to the building up of the church, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, that is the Son of God, that is Jesus Christ, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, by the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him, that is Jesus, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, it says, God gave some apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, not all are apostles, not all are prophets or evangelists or pastors and teachers, but the Apostle Paul, I believe, was a gift from God to us in all of these offices. I mean, he tells us he's an apostle, but when you look at the body of his work, he's a prophet. He tells forth truth. He's an evangelist. He tells the good news of Jesus Christ. He is a pastor. He cares for his flock in all his work. And he's a teacher. And therefore, we go to his work. I know there are many who say, well, the writer of Hebrews is unknown. This King James Bible says the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. I don't believe it because this title is given in the King James Bible. I believe it because there was no one gifted in the scriptures like the Apostle Paul, and he gives us throughout this book knowledge of that perfect man, Jesus Christ. And like an evangelist, encourages us in Christ through teaching, through giving knowledge of Christ. Many who have gone before have called these first three verses of this epistle to the Hebrews the gospel according to God. And it begins. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, and I would, well, let's just read, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, speaking of Jesus, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when, excuse me, he had by him self-purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. In the Gospel of Luke, the ninth chapter, in the 35th verse, this is at the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus, when all that Jesus was partially revealed, and, you know, I don't want to go into, we have time. It says, you know, let's go to the 33rd verse. It says, and it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here, and to let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. And while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. The great prophet Moses, the great prophet Elijah, God says, not the three, him, Jesus, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Hear ye him. It's interesting that translated has in these last days. The same phrase can be found in the fourth chapter of Galatians, where it says, in the fullness of time, Christ came. As in these last days, spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. The word in the Greek is kleronomos. Not going to try to make you Greek speakers. But I want you to understand, as the body of Christ, We're talking about Jesus. In Matthew 28, right before he ascended into heaven, after the resurrection, Jesus says in the 18th verse, or it says of Jesus in the 18th verse, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. This word, kleronimos, comes from the Greek root kleros, kleronimos, air, kleros, lot, or inheritance. I'm reading out of Kittle's Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. And, he goes on for four pages on this word. He gives a conclusion of this word kleros, and it says, the whole usage is rooted in the sense of God's overruling history. You know, I could go off for 20 hours on that statement, but we're looking at Jesus, the first statement about him says, whom he, that is God, has appointed heir of all things. Kleronimos. I don't speak Greek, but thank God. I thank God for the many helps that he has provided us that we might be edified. It was funny, one of the participants in the God School yesterday called me, asking me about this very work, this Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. And as I'm preparing for this, Book of Hebrews, I was stopped. I was made curious about this first statement, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Now, this word heir, kleronimos, is only used in one other place in the New Testament. Now, there's different forms which might also be translated heir, but the only other place it's used in the New Testament was in Romans 4th chapter 13th verse, which reads, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Two places, Hebrews, this second verse, and Romans. Heir, that he should be heir of the world. as I go on in Kittle's work, he says, similarly, in Hebrews 1:2, says that the Son is appointed heir of all things. In the parable, inheritance does not yet denote actual possession. Only the risen Lord enters upon this. That is that statement made in the 28th chapter of Matthew that we just read. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Inheritance is expressly linked with the kingdom. In Matthew 21:43, this frees it from earthly limitations and equates it with the new world of God's sovereign rule, going back to his rule over all of history. If Christ is heir, and he is, his people are fellow heirs, yet only by divine call and appointment. Inheritance is by a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Or by adoption. Romans 8:23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. So we go back to Kittle. It says, inheritance is by new creation or by adoption, and as such, it is an object of hope. Further on in this first chapter of Hebrews, the 14th verse, it says, speaking of angels, and are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? The object of hope are salvation. The object of hope are glory. Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. As I'm st- studying, as I'm pondering, as I'm meditating on this letter to the Hebrews and these wonderful promises of God, it comes to my mind that we are not to judge the eternal by the temporal. 2 Corinthians, I believe it's the 4th verse, it says, I'm not going to rely on me. Let's go to it. Give me a moment. Obviously, I wasn't going there at the moment, but it says, while we look not on the things which are seen. How many in the church are taken by craftiness, as Paul talked about in Ephesians, where they said, look at me, look at my works, look at how God's blessed me, look, 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 see with your own eyes. If I judge the eternal by what was seen, I'd have no hope. Paul, you ever read his biography, and trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble, he did not give in to the things that were seen, but held on to the promises of God. Therefore, he says, while we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the object of our hope is salvation in Hebrews 1:14 and glory in Hebrews 8:17. And redemption in Hebrews 8:23, as we already read. And Peter says, just to find another use of this word heirs, he says in the 3rd chapter of the 1st epistle of Peter, 7th verse, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Trying to, through the scriptures, build up your hope and faith in Jesus Christ, that you be not hindered by the cunning and sleight of men, by the craftiness and wickedness of the devil. We're a new creation through the adoption, and as such it is the object of our hope, salvation and glory, redemption, grace in some eternal life constitutes the content of the inheritance. Titus 3rd chapter, 7th verse, that King James reads, I'm going to read it right, that being righteousified by his grace, unmerited favor, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I'm sorry, my hesitation is, where do I want to pick up this continuing exegete of this word, Kleronimos, and I think I'll pick it up here, in Galatians. Paul meets the Judaizing view that only those who keep the law may rank as children of Abraham who inherit the promises. This involves contradiction that inheritance is no longer by promise but by law. That's Galatians 3:18. In fact, however, this promise precedes the law. Faith makes Abraham its recipient. Christ is the seed to whom the promise is given, and all those who belong to him by faith are the true progeny of Abraham, not by natural descent, but by adoption. The emphasis here is on the eschatological promise to Abraham, which has found initiatory fulfillment in Christ. Similar lines of thought occur in Romans 4:13 and 14 and Ephesians 3:6. Christian, Hebrews 2 regards kleronomia as the content of Old Testament promise. In this, Hebrews, the 9th chapter, 15th verse, and for this cause, he, that is Christ, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Christians are heirs of the promise. As those who have taken it over and attained to it. Listen, yet the promise guaranteed by God is set before the readers in order that by faith and, Kittle says endurance, or Kittle says patience, I would say endurance, that they might receive it. Like the fathers, they live in the not yet of the inheritance. I've used the phrase previously, already, not yet. We're in the not yet of the inheritance. But by faith, that being a gift of God, we have hope of this inheritance, salvation and glory and redemption and grace and blessing and eternal life. Whom God has appointed heir of all things. We're part of something big, folks. We're part of something big. Now, before we go on, I want to set a context for this epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. He's writing to converted Jews. He's writing to them because of circumstances where thinking about turning back to their religious ways, their ceremonies and their rites and their works. And Paul is going to tell them whatever you need, Jesus is enough. Whatever you had, Jesus is better. Don't judge the eternal by the temporal. We are, because of being joint heirs with Christ, we are in a war through the promises of God. We know in Christ we have the victory. And we inherit all these things as Abraham did by faith. And not only by faith in Christ, but even a greater assurance by the faith of Jesus Christ, who had no doubt in what God had promised him, that God would do it. He has appointed him heir of all things. Who? Jesus. By whom also he made the worlds. We need to stop there for a moment and go to the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And it reads, "In the beginning was the Word." The Greek word here is logos, speaking of Christ. That word logos, the essence of which is everything that could be said on a subject is contained in the logos. And it says, "In the beginning was the logos," or the Word, "and the Word was with the God, and the Word was God," the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, speaking of the Logos, speaking of Christ. "And without Him," that is Christ, "was not anything made that was made." In Him, King James reads, "In Him," in the fourth verse, "was life." One of the oldest manuscripts that we have, the Sinaiticus, early 4th century Greek translation of the New Testament, says, "In Him is life, and the life was the light of man." Go back to the third verse for a moment. It says, "All things were made by Him." There is this grammar found in the Greek of the New Testament that we really don't have in the English language. And that part of grammar is called the middle voice. And the more I am exposed to the Greek and its grammar of the New Testament, the more I'm exposed to this middle voice. And the middle voice in its action tells us that the actor and the action he's performing, he is doing it for himself. And in this third verse, wherein it says, "All things were made by Him," what it tells us is all things were made for Him, by Him. I know many people think the world was created for them. God's Word from cover to cover clearly tells us that He made these worlds for Himself, and He did it by Jesus Christ, to whom also it says that glory may be given unto him, not unto us. Psalm 115 says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory and honor for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. We're speaking of Jesus. We're speaking of Jesus for the purposes of building up the body of Christ, for the purposes of building up the church. We are putting, through God's word, Jesus Christ on display, that faith might come. We will continue, God willing, and I know He is, in this book of Hebrews next time. But for now, that's the God School for today.